This episode of the Diesel Powered Podcast is brought to you by Empower Sound, makers and distributors of the Happy Amp. If you're a professional performer, lecturer, panelist, and you need powerful, high-quality sound on the go, check out the Happy Amp from Empower Sound at www.happyamp.com. HAPPIE amp.com. Hey there, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you guys and dolls, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is the Diesel-Powered Podcast, the voice of Diesel Punk, and you are listening to our weekly Diesel Punk Comics Microcast for the week of July the 29th, 2015. I am your humble host, the time-traveling, comic-book-loving, Diesel Punk prophet of pop culture, John Pica, also known to you guys as Big Daddy Cool Johnny Della Rocca, swinging solid from the 2 and 4 here at the Houdini Room at the Casa de Cool. Now, some of you may have just caught in that introduction, I used my real name, and you're going to be hearing that a whole lot more. I'm going to be going by my real name more and more, primarily because I got a new book coming out under my real name, and so, you know, it's time to really kind of promote that a little bit more and to really put the focus on marketing that effort. So in that regards, Big Daddy Cool is going to take more of a back seat on the digital broadcast stage and primarily just be a character I play on stage. You'll see me portray him in Swinging at the Roxy, the brand new Tales from the Flipside live show, which is stories from the book. And of course, I'll be appearing as that character at a lot of conventions as MC, host for live events, contests, whatnot. And whenever I do the Diesel Punk 101 panel, which is a performance panel, I'll be appearing as the character exclusively. So, he ain't going anywhere, but we're going to put a little bit more focus on my name. So, nice to meet you. My name's John Pica. Anyway, we got a lot of good stuff this week. And not just this week, but last week and coming up in the next couple of weeks. And we're going to cover about 3 weeks worth of stuff and just super, super exciting stuff coming out this week. First up, on digital, exclusively digital first, 99 cents at Comixology, is a book that I've been waiting a long time for, and that is the DC Bombshells. It's World War II, and Batwoman is battling crime on the home front, but events in her life are about to quickly change, and she may be leaving Gotham behind for a bigger cause. This is the Bombshells Batwoman, Wonder Woman, Supergirl, and I don't know who else. I just downloaded it just before we went live, but issue number one is on Comixology. It's 99 cents. It's written by Marguerite Bennett, so we get a great female writer. And the pencils, oddly enough, are Marguerite Savage. And the cover art is by Aunt Lucia, who created the entire Bombshells line. And if you're not familiar with this, this took the DC heroines and some of the heroes and villains and cast them in 1940s pinup roles. So we've got, you know, Wonder Woman as this diner doll pinup, almost Rosie the Riveter style, and Batwoman is, you know, a female baseball player a la League of Their Own. And Black Canary is a jazz singer with a microphone. It's just cool stuff. Cool aesthetic. Very much the Diesel Punk aesthetic. And for those of you who still aren't sure what Dieselpunk is. You know, I like the definition that my friend Larry Amiet, the co-host of the Diesel Powered podcast, gives. It's the mashup of the style of the 20s, 30s, and 40s with contemporary style, production sensibilities, but there's something that turns history on its ear, turns it upside down, and that's what makes it punk. And, you know, for us, there's kind of three qualifications to be diesel punk. It's got to be contemporary in origin, and by that we mean that it's created since the end of the diesel era. And we're not going to haggle about the timeline, but for all intents and purposes, the end of World War II, created since then. It's got the aesthetic of the 20s, 30s, and 40s, that diesel era, be that Art Deco, noir, audible, you know, audio aesthetics, the big band jazz sound. You know, it might have military styling. The visual or audio or artistic aesthetics of that era. And then it's got to have punk. And this is, you know, where, you know, we see sci-fi and fantasy and alternate history and alt tech and, you know, machines and robots and monsters. And so we get that all in the bombshells. And then the overarching attitude of diesel punk is kind of a countercultural attitude. You know, part of that punk is countercultural and countercultural characters and themes, but that's really the overarching umbrella. And I was thinking about this more and more this week that, you know, punk isn't just an element of diesel punk. It is really the umbrella under which we stand. And that countercultural attitude can take its shape in a lot of different ways. You know, our pal Tom Wilson of dieselpunks.org, you know, talks about going to a rock concert wearing a three-piece suit and his custom wingtips. And, you know, standing out from the crowd. You know, for Larry and I, it's kind of pushing against the counter or the casual culture of contemporary society, what Larry calls the national uniform of the t-shirt and shorts and flip-flops. You know, we choose to dress in 1940 styles with the coats and the hats and, you know, really take pride in our appearance. We're lifestylers like that. And there are a lot of different ways that diesel punks, you know, can present that countercultural attitude. And it happens through cosplay and role-playing and video games and music and lifestyle. So that's what diesel punk is. And Bombshells represents everything that diesel punk is for us. And the comics that I'm going to be talking about this week have those aesthetics. Contemporary in origin, the aesthetics of the era, and punk, sci-fi, fantasy, etc. Like most good comics do. So, also out this week, Lobster Johnson, A Chain Forged in Life, one shot. This is by Dark Horse Comics. It's written by Mike Mignola. Of course, Lobster Johnson is a spin-off character of Hellboy. And John Arcudi does the interior art. And Troy Nixon and Kevin Nolan do the cover. I'm sorry. Mike Mignola and John Arcudi are the writers. The artists are Troy Nixon, Kevin Nolan, and then the cover artist is Tonsi Zonjic. And here's the concept for this issue. This standalone one-shot. Santa was taken hostage after witnessing a hostile robbery and a man's death. Hidden away in a mountain cabin, will the lobster be able to find Santa and save Christmas? How could you not want to read this? Lobster Johnson is a great pulpy diesel punk character. I wish I saw more people cosplaying as Lobster Johnson. You know what? Maybe I'll change that. Maybe I'll do it at a con upcoming. But anyway, I've loved Lobster Johnson's stuff. It's this character and the series that Mignola has done are in my top five diesel punk comic titles. It's solid stuff. So check that out. It's pulpy, campy, kind of creepy at the same time. Just great stuff. Rasputin, number 7. Now, everyone thought that this title ended with issue number 5, and then all of a sudden last month, issue number 6 hits the stands. And Rasputin has awakened in modern-day New York. So the first part, the first 5 issues take place in the middle 1900s, 1920s, during the Diesel era, and then Rasputin is killed, murdered, and then he wakes up. And in this issue, issue number 7, the Mad Monk lands on Ellis Island and America is changed forever. It's by Alex Grecian and Riley Rossmo. And Riley Rossmo is the artist, is doing some of the most beautiful artwork I've seen in a comic in a long time. It's just very fluid, painterly, very style, just beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful work. And if you are appreciate beautiful artwork, pick up Rasputin. It is not for children. It is definitely not a kids title. All right, Hit 1957. This is issue number 4. Now, for me, the Diesel era ends in 1957 with the launch of Sputnik. And I make a lot of claims around why that is. The movie Iron Giant was set in 1957. Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull was set in 1957. For me, 1957, the launching of Sputnik, is the official end of the Diesel era. Now, the Atomic era, the Atomic Punk era, starts in 1945 with the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And there's that overlap through 1957. 1957 clearly marks the end of the Diesel era, and it's pure Atomic Punk from there on out. But Hit 1957, this is by Bryce Carlson and Vanessa Dell. She's the artist. And this is the final issue. And I've got to admit, I found this title late. So I've not read any of the first couple of issues. I did go back through my Boom Studios pre-release lists, because I get preview copies for most of these titles. And this is by Boom Studios, and somehow I just missed it. So I've gone back to the archives, and I've downloaded the first couple of issues, so I'm going to start reading those this week. But this is issue number 4, final issue, and after the shocking events of issue number 3, Slater unleashes his full fury on Domino's gang with the help of Terry Riggs. In L.A., Sticky confirms the Hollywood hacker on his own and faces a moral dilemma. How far will he go in the name of the Hit Squad? I have no idea what any of that means because I've not read the first 4 issues, or first 3 issues, rather. But the artwork on this is really intriguing. It's got that very noir, late noir mob styling. And I'm going to go check it out. If you were a fan of Lady Killer, you're going to be a fan of this. So, or if you were a fan of The Fade Out by Ed Brubaker, you're probably going to be a fan of this. So check that out. And I'll have more to report after I read the first couple of issues. Now, I've got another confession to make. I've fallen behind on this next title. Although I liked the first issue, it left me a little bit hanging, a little bit, I don't know, unsatisfied. So I just didn't pick up the next couple of issues. But from what I'm reading on the solicit here, this has gotten really heated up. So it's Frankenstein Underground, issue number 5. This is also by Mike Mignola, Ben Steinbeck, Dave Stewart. It's by Dark Horse Comics. And Frankenstein's monster has gone underground in hiding, but he still can't get away from his curse, and he's haunted and tormented. And here he confronts the danger lurking within the underground city. And can he save the city of the spirit of the city, or will he meet his end? This is the final issue, and it is basically what they're calling the sequel to Hellboy, House of the Living Dead. And it reveals a huge key to the mystery leading into the Hellboy endgame. So, I'm not exactly sure what that means. I did download today the preview of the next Hellboy series, House of the Living Dead. The first issue, I've not read it yet, but I downloaded it today from Dark Horse. They give me preview copies, so I'm going to read that this week. That comes out in a couple of weeks. I want to say second week of August. But interesting stuff here. So I'm going to have to go back and check out Frankenstein Underground. If you've been reading Frankenstein Underground, then you're going to probably have a clearer picture of what is going on in the solicit. I'll have more on that later, too. Now, one of my favorite series characters is Eric Powell's The Goon. It debuted in 1999, and of course, Eric Powell is local here to Nashville, where I'm from. He and I have had the opportunity to hang out, and we get to see each other at a lot of events, and you know, every now and again, we'll run into each other out at a restaurant or a bar. He has released the Goon Chinatown Artist Edition hardcover. Now, Chinatown is probably, I would say, the seminal Goon work. If you wanted to read the best of the Goon, Chinatown is the place to start. And this is a beautiful artist edition. It features the Goon original graphic novel, Chinatown, and the mystery of Mr. Wicker, the opus that earned Eric 2 Eisner Awards. And each page of the artist edition was scanned under close supervision by Eric himself to ensure the finest reproduction possible of the delicate and stunning original art. Many pages of which were in color, washes and sepia tones as storytelling device, which only adds to the beauty of the originals. And I gotta tell you, the printed page of Eric's work really does not do it justice. His work is best when you see it up close, because he does full-blown paintings. These panels that he does are large format panels. So these new scans are going to be crisp, high color. You're going to see every brush stroke, and really it's going to be gorgeous, gorgeous. That comes out this week on comic shelves on the 29th. Also on shelves on the 29th, Wednesday the 29th, is Harold, Lovecraft and Tesla, number 5. This is number 5 by Tom Rogers. I'm sorry, the writer is John Riley. Artists are Tom Rogers, Dexter Weeks. And let's see, number 4, issue number 3, rather. The duo had attended Mark Twain's retirement party, and it's turned deadly. When the book golem William Wilde arrives. Meanwhile, Harry Houdini and Susan Lovecraft learn more than they should when they infiltrate one of Aleister Crowley's seances. So you got all these people from real life history intermingling in this great diesel punk sci-fi horror adventure fantasy story. It's really cool what they've done, and you can get it on digital for $1.99, 32 pages printed on shelves, $3.99 right now. Now, two other titles coming out in the next couple of weeks. The Shadow, number 1. Matt Wagner is the writer. Butch Geis is the artist. I got the preview copy of this 2 weeks ago. Man, is it fantastic. Oh, this is a brand new ongoing series, brand new issue number 1. If you're a Shadow fan, do yourself a favor, go order it from your comic shop right now. You don't want to miss it. Matt Wagner has become one of my favorite writers of The Shadow. His Grendel versus Shadow crossover was phenomenal, and he really, really, really knows how to write The Shadow. So you'll want to pick that up. And if Geis's work sounds familiar, he is the cat what did the first Masks series, and he did Justice Inc. And so he's got a real good feel for The Shadow and for these pulpy characters. Issue number 2 of The Spirit the new Spirit series comes out in a couple of weeks too, and you know, I downloaded the preview on this, and the most intriguing thing about this new series is that the Spirit doesn't appear in the first two issues. It's all about his disappearance and these young detectives trying to find him. They believe he's still alive. They don't believe he's dead. He's been gone for 3 years, and they are on a mission to find the Spirit. And so the story so far has really been about that hunt and that mission, and really, really, really good stuff. Really good stuff. So check that out. That'll be coming in a couple of weeks. Again, with Like the Shadow, go order it now. Order it early. Make sure you get it in your hold box so that you don't miss out on that. So that's what's coming up this week and in over the next couple of weeks. New comics are on the shelves tomorrow, Wednesday, the 29th. And you'll want to go pick up some of those. And check out what else the comic shop has. Now, if you don't have a local comic book shop, you can check out comixology.com. I'm a big fan of digital. Go to comicbooklocator.com and find a local shop near you. And go check out what they have. Not just the titles that I've been talking about, but go see what other titles you might find. I recommend the Star Wars series by Marvel. Darth Vader, Star Wars, Princess Leia. There's a new Lando series that is fantastic. Some of the best Star Wars stuff in ages. Check that out. And a lot of other good stuff going on and coming out every week. We want to thank our sponsor, Comic Bento. They provide a bento box of comics every week in your mailbox. At least $50 worth of graphic novels, not just single comic issues, full graphic novels. For under $20, you get a boatload of graphic novels for your $20. And it comes in a cool package every month. It's like Christmas. It's like your birthday. You can't go wrong. Also, check out audible.com, your source for audiobooks. You can get a brand new audiobook for free just for checking them out. You can get it on us, audibletrial.com/dieselpoweredpodcast.com. They've got a book right now that you can download for free on us, and it is Star Wars Dark Disciple. It is the continuing story of Asajj Ventress, and apparently Quinlan Vos, one of the Jedi, takes her as his Padawan. So he has taken a dark disciple. It is the continuing story of Quinlan Vos and Asajj Ventress, and you can get it free, audibletrial.com/dieselpoweredpodcast. Also, want to thank Blue Microphone for providing the Yeti microphone. We record on that every week here at the Diesel Powered Podcast. Check them out at bluemic.com. And we have a brand new sponsor to the John Pica Productions network of shows, Comic Extravaganza, and the Diesel Powered Podcast. That is Empowered Sound, maker and distributor of the Happy Amp. Check them out at happyamp.com. That's HAPPIE amp.com for your portable sound reinforcement needs. If you're a performer, lecturer, panelist, and you need high quality, high powered sound on the go, check out the Happy Amp from Empower Sound. That's happyamp.com. Well, guys and gals, that's it for this week. As always, send us your email at feedback@dieselpoweredpodcast.com. Check out our other great episodes at dieselpoweredpodcast.com. And check out the other live entertainment and digital broadcast entertainment options at www.johnpyka.com. J-O-H-N-P-Y-K-A productions.com. johnpykaproductions.com. Until the next time, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.